The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
On everybody, thank you for listening to No Need for Apologies. I'm Monroe Martin.
I'm Derek Gaines.
And what we need you to do right now is not only like the podcast, but we need you to subscribe and share. Share it with everybody you know. Share it with your mama.
Share it with your daddy.
If you have a daddy, share it with your uncle. Share it with your mom's boyfriend. Like whoever.
Or your dad's side joint. Just share it before they go to Red Lobster. Share, no need for apologies.
All right,
let's get the show started.
Right. Can we put it on the podcast or no? Would you want like people knowing you do Botox?
Oh,
no?
I don't care. I mean, I'm fine. I talk about it all the time.
You're a Botox advocate.
But here's the thing, because everyone is getting it. Every single woman is getting it. And the ones that
aren't, know. And the ones that are ugly.
The ones that you notice. It sucks because it's their dermatologist's fault. Everyone else is getting it and you don't notice because this shit is so advanced now that like everyone can have it and guys have no idea.
Yeah.
But then one dermatologist fucks up and they're like, she's got so much Botox, and she's standing there like, everybody's fucking got it. My person just fucked up, you know?
Yeah. that's funny. Yeah, I get that.
The surgeon messed up. Everybody does it, but he just...
Exactly.
Are you able to tell who else has Botox by looking? Like, can you like look at somebody and go, I can see you got that
Toxic. No, I can just assume that they do. I mean, I'll look at their foreheads. If their foreheads move, then like when they raise their eyebrows, if there's any motion up here, if there's like wrinkles, they don't have Botox. If they move their eye, if they can raise their eyebrows and nothing up here moves, then they do have it.
Now I'm like looking, but because the service is so bad, like I can't tell.
Well, you can't.
I'm looking for the wrinkles.
Look. Okay, I'm gonna get really close.
Jesus Christ, okay.
So you see how right here?
Oh, yeah.
Up here, nothing. Oh, shit. The Botox hasn't worn out.
Okay, I get it. Cause you don't. Oh, that makes sense. Do guys get it? Have you met a guy that has it?
Do dudes get Botox? Dudes.
I mean, they can, but they end up looking really gay.
Oh yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely seen dudes in Hollywood that have gotten work done, but I don't.
Oh, it's Hollywood. Oh, it's Hollywood. They always doing something.
I mean, I'm talking Hollywood even stand-ups for
but
sure.
But once once you're in that realm, though, like when you go to LA and you venture out of doing stand-up and now you're acting and you're an entertainer, you're getting plastic surgery, you're doing makeup. I'm not going to say any names, but I remember doing the show. It was a black guy. He came with his own makeup kit and he touched his face up and did everything. And looked at him in amazement, like you carry that shit around with you all the fucking
time.
Yeah,
bro. Like, yeah, a little kid.
Yeah.
It's like you gotta know your palettes and all that stuff. You gotta know how to blend. So I'm like, you could really do makeup. He's like, I know how to do my makeup, but I'm like, if you're
not smart, it's smart though, because I feel like, you know, when you go to Hollywood or whatever, like they've got a makeup artist, and then next thing you know, you see yourself on screen and you're like, I look like a weirdo. Dude. You know,
yeah,
I don't trust white makeup artists. White makeup artist made me look like Tyler Perry every single time. I'm like, my face is lighter than my neck. Like, at least I know the basics. Like, it has to match the neck.
Yeah,
it has to match the neck. Yeah.
And also,
they're white makeup artists, they make you lighter. But if they're black makeup artists, they like to fill your beard in with that black bullshit. So it's a weird.
No, I'll take that back. I don't like white makeup artists without tattoos. It's like the ones that have tattoos that are like grungy. They know a little stuff. The fat ones who like are soccer moms and shit. I don't trust those bitches. I don't trust them. They have never.
Oh, the pageant moms. The pageant moms. The pageant moms do pageant makeup.
Do they always have like, this is one thing that I remember when Seton was doing Mulaney, they didn't have a barber on set for him.
That was like
an issue. Cause like, I remember, I mean, he was the only black man on set. So they didn't have, and he had to find his own barber in LA to like bring that barber to set. Because otherwise,
been one show that had a barber, and it was joking off, and I was like,
"Oh yeah,"
it's because they had a lot of black talent on that show.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Will and Grace even had a barber. Well, yeah. he was a black dude that did makeup, so I called him my barber because he did things with my hair without cutting it. But I'm like, "All right, let me."
And a barber, nigga, he's a fucking makeup artist with a comb.
They didn't put money down for a barber.
Somebody who's there, who lines, who shapes. Yeah.
Somebody was like, just run your fingers through his curls and say that you're a barber just to make him feel better.
Yeah.
Put another black body on the set.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So we got Rosebud Baker on this bench.
Rosebud Baker. Yeah. Comedian extraordinaire.
You've seen her on Comedy Central. She has her own, but you have a bunch of podcasts. You have a bunch of them. You have two. Well, you have the Just for Laughs Jones and then the Jones on Bill Burr's network.
The Just for Laughs thing, that was just for the month of May. I was just doing a live show of like comics running new jokes and stuff. But I have two podcasts. I have the one with All Things Comedy, and then I started one in the quarantine with my fiance, Andy Haynes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got that confused. I thought that was the Just for Laughs Jones.
No. That was literally just had nothing to do. We were stuck in LA. We were like, let's do a podcast every single day of the quarantine. And
who's doing the editing? Or y'all just
we are
it out as is.
We are.
So,
I mean, well, he is.
Yeah, like, that's good.
He does the audio and then I do the video. And it was like when it was every single day, I was like, well, this is the dumbest shit we've ever done in our lives.
Y'all need a show on like on Hallmark or HGTV.
I was like, this is insane. And that's
building a home.
We got engaged
podcasts
after 5 months. So,
yeah, how did that work out? Because you got engaged. Can we talk about the engagement on the podcast?
Yeah.
You got engaged during the beginning of this quarantine, correct? Wasn't it at the top of this shit or no?
Yeah.
At the beginning. Did you regret it?
It was 3 days into quarantine that we got engaged. And you know, I don't regret it. Like I don't of course I've had moments where I'm like, this is fucking hard. But I don't regret it because here's the thing. A lot of people when they get engaged, they have this idea about what it's gonna be like to be married. This like kind of like fancy sort of like fantastical idea of what it's going to be like. And I feel like it's good to take all of that out of it and be like, no, it's just living side by side, not killing each other. And that's all it takes. And so as much as like this isn't it's not like the most romantic engagement because it is, you know, we're at where we're at, but I feel like it's something that should be required of people before they get married.
Yeah. Like, well, I only think romance exists in the super rich and the super poor, because those are the two people who have the resources for creativity. You got money to be creative, or you have time to be creative to create romance. Those are the only things you have. So if you are romance, get a super rich dude or a super fucking broke dude.
But right.
The real thing, like, because I like it, because I know this is what you wanted for a while, and I'm happy that you got it and you're engaged and shit like that. And, like, after getting married, I'm like, oh, it's just a roommate that you split shit with.
That's it.
Like, I love my wife. She's amazing. But I'm like, oh, okay. You're just a roommate that I can fuck.
Yeah.
And, like, and tell my secrets to.
And it's like, as much as it's like, you know, it's so funny because people were always like, why do you want to get married so bad? And I'm like, because it's like, that's what life is so much easier and better when you have a partner to just like, even if you just feel like being a piece of shit that day, you can be a piece of shit around them. And they're going to be like, yeah, all right, fine. I'll go get you a coffee or whatever. But it's like, and then you take turns, you know what I mean? Like he can be a piece of shit one day and I'll be one the next day. But it, it feels like, but it's tough. Cause I mean, you don't want to do that with just anybody. You got to find somebody that you like can really, you know, be yourself around.
Yeah. Somebody who can like, somebody who understands you and why you're being a piece of shit and why you're moody and all that stuff. And yeah, I learned to take turns thing when me and my wife got our first place together and our place was a fucking shithole. The floor was uneven. Derek helped me move in. Like, I didn't realize it until we was moving in, but there was like a big ass hump on the floor, like in the middle of the living room floor.
Huge
fucking hump. Like, you can get a skateboard and do a fucking ollie off that joint. You can fucking do
ollies in the house.
Yeah. It was like a skating ramp. The cabinets were falling apart and we ended up having roaches, right? And I'm like, and I'm a pretty calm.
Hold on a second, my Wi-Fi's slowed down.
Yeah, that was funny that your face got stuck like this.
Oh, that's crazy. Mine did?
Yeah, your face got stuck like.
There you go, you back.
You back.
Yeah.
You're good, it's fine. Nobody can tell the Botox worked. But like, I was sad. Like, we would go to bed every night sad. But like, apparently, my wife was crying like every fucking night until we got the place together. But I couldn't let that show because I'm like, well, it ain't my turn to be visibly sad. Like, it's her turn. So I'm gonna let her cry her eyes out, and then when she leaves or goes to work, I will fucking have my fix. And that's what it is. It's just taking breaks.
Yeah.
And taking turns, that was fun.
But the new place is dope.
Where do you live now? You got a new place?
We literally moved right across the street to a 2-bedroom spot that's fantastic. As you can see, I got an office. I got shit hanging up. I got a papa's on. I got a closet. I got mirrors. So I got a
much
door.
A better apartment.
It's a way better apartment. I got windows and shit. We have 4 windows max in the entire place, and none of them looked out to shit. All of them looked towards the alleyway.
Yeah, oh, Ro lived in the basement of a compound. It was like a cave with a TV in it.
Oh. And we weren't even in the basement. We was on the ground floor. We was on the first level floor, no windows.
But are you in Harlem? Are you in Brooklyn?
I'm in Queens.
You're in Queens.
I'm in Queens. I can't be in Harlem around this time. Did you see this shit?
I was like, it was so funny because we were like, we went outside the night before, I guess it was on Friday night, Saturday night. We went outside and we were walking around and walking the dogs, and it felt like right the scene in a movie, you know, where like right before a building's about to blow up and everyone around the main character knows, but the main characters don't know. Like, I felt like the main character when they just wake up from a coma. And they look, and everybody's like running, and I was like, oh shit! And then we were gonna go down to the protests, but then we were coming up to see my mom.
Yeah.
And with the COVID shit, I was like, okay, well, we can't. Like, I'm not gonna bring COVID up to my mom because. Yeah. And but it did feel pretty bad because we were like, hey, we'd love to go to the protest, but we have to go to Maine. we were like, fuck.
She's like, no, we got to go see my mama. No, that's the whitest, good excuse.
Just the whitest shit. We're going up to Maine, so... but so we're up here now, and we were like, we're going to come back down this week, because I don't really want to... I feel bad being away from my city right now.
Nah.
Me too.
Oh, so you're back in New York now. You came back.
Yeah,
I know you're in Maine, but I'm talking about you moved back to New York.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're in your parents' house? Because I'm like wondering who's that white lady over your shoulder.
This is my mom's paintings. These are my mom's paintings.
Your mom made those?
My mom's a painter. And
those shits are Dope. Even with the reception, I can tell that they got their oil paintings, correct?
Yeah, she's really good. She's like really good.
I like that shit.
Yeah, so she like her paintings are all over the house. She's got this like cute house in Thomaston. And then like we'll come up here for a few days. We're celebrating Mary Stewart's birthday and with her girlfriend, thanks Derek. And
I was waiting for it.
That's so fucking funny.
That's so funny.
Maybe she knew the whole time and then she got a taste of Derek and she's like, I like the vagina. I like the vagina.
He's like, you know what?
Yeah. I hope I wasn't a dude to that turn her lesbian. I hope it was a dude after. It wasn't. I was like, hope I'm wrong before.
I can't wait to have a kid and introduce my kid to Derek and be like, this could have been your uncle, but he made your auntie gay.
Uh-huh.
Mary Stewart. I love Mary Stewart. She's a great, great lady. That's so funny. That is so hilarious.
That's so fucking
funny. Oh man, that makes me laugh. I remember when you told him
anyway,
you told him it was going to hell when you told me that story. He was like, oh, this is just awful. You saw him?
Wait, me?
First time? Rose Club was like, when she first saw her and her girlfriend, she was just like, oh, God. Yeah. She was like, this is all your fault.
It is. Like,
that was so fun to do. I was like, that's going to be my favorite joke to tell.
That's the great point.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's so bad, but so hilarious. But anyway, what else? What's up? What else is going on?
I mean, besides that, we're just, it's like the craziest fucking time probably to be alive that I've ever been alive.
Yeah.
I want to go do comedy. I miss comedy. I'm fucking depressed without it. Like, I don't know how you guys are feeling, but I've been, like, there have been nights where I, like, I'll be fine through the day.
Yeah.
And then around 7 p.m., I start to get a little restless, and then by like 9 p.m., I'm just like, it's never coming back.
It's never. Are you going to do that truck comedy?
I start to lose it a little bit.
Are you going to start doing the truck comedy?
Yeah.
You are?
No, I will. Oh. Let me tell you something. Let me say something about this.
Go on,
truck comedy if they promise to drive over my fucking body. They have to, they can pay for a ticket and drive over my body. I'm done with my act.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, I go back and forth. I'm like, I will do it. And then I'm like, man, I ain't doing that shit. I'll figure it out. I'll just become a writer or some goofy shit. I'm like,
are you fucking kidding me with this shit?
Yeah, but because I feel like now, I don't know, like, just the fucking honk a horn, like, I wrote these jokes. I'm telling my feelings, and then in response, you go, beep, 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 beep.
I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, for people to be able to actively, to do that, and be okay with it, I'm like, okay, so it was never about getting laughs for you. This was about, you need to be looked at. You actually have, like, a mental disorder. Like, you just need the attention. You don't give a fuck about making people laugh or, like, connecting with an audience. You, motherfucker, just want to be looked at. Yeah. And you're not hot enough to post your ass on Instagram. That's all it is. Like, that's, in my opinion, I can't understand. And I know I sound judgy, and I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, no, you can't care.
I think these people are mentally ill.
Dude, what about the people who's like, we're going to go to the comedy club. We're going to go to a comedy show. We're going to roll down our windows or tune into the AM station. That's what they do. You got to tune into an AM station, and then it comes over.
Why do you need to look at the radio? Like, why? There's all of our shit is on Sirius XM. Just go on there.
Yeah.
You're going to hear it better.
But,
oh, God.
Right. And then there's going to be a delay. So you're going to hear the comic, and then at least 10 seconds to 20 seconds later, you're going to hear the joke. You're going to be like, oh, baby, 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 baby. I ignored all those emails. Like, I don't know about you, like, those comedy clubs. It's like, hey,
I'm
going to let you know. I ain't responding to this shit.
I'll be a dick for this conversation and say I actually considered it. I was like, to get horns honked at me when I'm funny. Yeah. I was like, I wonder, do I have to be good at every facet of this shit? That's what I felt to myself. Do I have to master all of this in order to feel like this is tears of a clown?
If comedy isn't coming back, I'll tell you this. I will cave if they go, yo, comedy is not coming back until late August, September. I'm a submit my veil. I'll be right there too with fucking getting honked at. I'm a switch my style of jokes for honks.
I'm inviting Rosebud. I'm going to invite you to my first one. Yeah. I'm going to invite you so you can.
I can't believe what the fuck I'm hearing.
Early September. You telling me you ain't going to let some fucking Priuses honk at you?
No. What's funny to me is that people were like, no, I won't do a fucking Zoom show. And I'm like, you could do a Zoom show and hear laughter.
Yeah.
But you'd rather get in front of a fucking car?
Yeah.
I'm like, why? That's so sad. It's like a fucking state fair. Like, what the fuck is happening right now? It's like the comics go up and then they bring up the pig competition. And they just fucking, it's like...
But why not just have it in the park and then allow people to be spread out? Like, I don't get what's so hard about that.
All right, y'all, before the next comic
people
come up,
are already in the park, bring a fucking amp.
Yeah, do it in the park.
Yeah.
That's fine. I just don't, I don't like the whole, like, it just feels like, it's like if I go up to a detox center and or so if I go up to somebody on the street and I'm like, hey, can I get some heroin? And they're like, no, but we have Advil. I'm like, that's not the same ballpark.
Not even close.
Yeah.
That's not even Vicodin. That's not even.
That's not going to do anything for me.
Painkillers.
Yeah.
You've been doing the Zoom comedy shows?
I've done, so I do these like, shows for rehab centers and like detox centers and
way
they
to give back.
It's like these people are just they're quarantined anyway. Yeah. Get out, go Charlie, beat it. And they'll just like they'll have the sound on, so I can tell jokes to them and I can hear their laughs, and like, you know, every once in a while there's like a show that's actually good, and then there's shows that I'm like, I want to die. I'm like, I'm going to just make a bed for me there because I'm going to relapse. Like, you know, but I don't, at least it has given me a chance to like, you know, run through some ideas that I've had since this whole thing started, because I haven't stopped writing, which is good. Like, I feel like, this whole thing with everything that's happened, it's kind of hard not to write jokes about it. And I don't know if I'm going to even be able to tell these jokes afterwards. So it's kind of just keeping me in the practice of writing, whether or not I'm going to use it or not. Doesn't really matter.
Absolutely.
But it's, you know, it's a really fucking weird time. I don't think there's anything that we can even compare this to. If you talk to comics that were here for 9/11, you know, and you're like, hey, is this like the way it was then? It's not even really, you can't compare the two. Because it's not they said you can't do comedy for months after 9/11.
Yeah.
You know?
They still did. I mean, sorry, I'm choking. I felt like they did comedy after 9/11 like the next week.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I mean, people are like comparing it to that. But I'm like, it doesn't even really...
Yeah.
It's not the same because
the city wasn't shut down. Yeah, they just couldn't fuck with a certain area. It's like, don't go to that area.
Yeah. Steer clear.
I was like, hey.
It's like New York's first time in curfew since like the 40s, right?
Yeah. But what do you think about this shit? Like now you got all these protests going on and this shit is like the quarantine is over now. We're just, it's all about the curfew now. They're like, look, we can't quarantine you no more. Just be in the house at 8. Like, what's the curfew up in Maine?
There is no curfew up in Maine.
God, it's Maine, man. Nigga. It's Maine.
Yeah, they're like, you need to put your lobster rolls down by 7:45.
Stop lobster around 7:45. Get from the beaches around 7:45.
You know what's kind of sweet, though, is like, Maine is not a diverse fucking state. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we crossed the border to Maine and we were like, and there was this rally in Portland, like a protest in Portland, which was like, there's a bunch of people like right next to the police station in Portland. Yeah. And it was like this really peaceful protest that was happening there. And then we went even further up north and there was like three old white hippies just marching, like with Black Lives Matter signs. Yeah. In their like pretty much all white town. And I was like, okay, well, this is nice. Like we passed a small business that just said, remember George Floyd. And like, it was just like, okay, this is nice to see this. Cause you know, it's like, you don't really see it going beyond just your city. And then you look and there's like protests in Berlin and there's protests like all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that makes me feel like there's some kind of hope, you know, which is just nice because all of this is, I mean, fucking, it's exhausting, you know, it's just like traumatic and exhausting is what it feels like. And I think for everyone I know, everyone is just like, I'm just fucking tired and like heartbroken and it is like turn on the news last night and Trump standing there in front of a fucking church holding a Bible.
Like, energy too. I've never seen that motherfucker with that much energy. I'm like, somebody took a Cialis. That nigga was up.
He looks like he's, whenever he's holding a Bible, he looks like he's selling it, you know what I mean? He looks like he's selling a book.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, it's a good Bible. You can hold it this way or this way or this way. And he's never, he doesn't know how to open it.
Yep. He's like, how did
it's real Corinthian lever.
Yeah. Did you say Corinthian lever?
Yeah.
Corinthian lever. You read it from back to front like a jacket. Like,
he didn't know it was a Bible. He thought it was the Art of the Deal. I didn't write this.
Yeah, dude.
So are you gonna go join that little protest that could? And man,
with your little tie-dye t-shirt on.
Protest here, you should go help those little hippies out.
We could.
Yeah, and it's safer.
Yeah, it's way safer. There's definitely,
it's way safer. Yeah,
they're not gonna throw tear gas on a bridge. They'll just throw you off the bridge.
They're going to fucking bring snacks and
they're gonna bring y'all snacks. They're gonna bring y'all snacks. This is a good cause for you guys.
The funny thing is, I was like looking at it, and people were like comparing it to the 60s and shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think they can compare it to the 60s either, because in the 60s, everyone was fucking all the time. Mm-hmm. So they, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's fucked for months. All right.
Absolutely. I've been saying that.
I think people have been fucking. People have been getting corona calls. People have been like, you good? I'm good. No coughs. All right, come through. Let me drop it in the drawer. People, because fucking is free and fucking is primal.
Three people have been fucking?
Yeah. It's something that you just won't stop doing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people fuck no matter what.
And in weird places.
Yeah, that's what movies has taught me. Like, anytime I watch a post-apocalyptic movie, somebody got to fuck.
Somebody got to go fuck. Somebody got to go fuck.
They had a whole baby during an alien attack.
whole baby.
Yeah, dude.
During an alien.
I will say that, but the people who are fucking are fucking, they're trying to, they have to be so secretive about it that it can't possibly be happening as often as it would, as it was in the 60s. Specifically just comparing now to the 60s, we could not possibly be fucking at the pace or just at the rapid pace that they were fucking in the 60s.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, true.
So,
we treat this like they treated interracial dating in the 60s.
Right. Yeah.
We gotta go bone in a corner somewhere. Keep it close, you know.
Right.
Make sure your mask is on you. If they come, we pull pants up, pull face over you.
Yeah.
The condom aisles are full and around my way. Like when you walk through Rite Aid and you go.
Nigga, it's
like
Queens.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a point.
It's also.
Queens. Are you not? Yeah. Populated as Queens is.
Yeah, they ain't wearing no condoms. It's just there for suggestion.
Yeah. Like, also, everybody in Queens is like over 30. And I feel like after 30, putting on a condom makes you feel like you're a teenager. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's something about safe sex past 30 where you're like, I'm not going to fucking do that. What am I, a child?
Yeah. You're like, get the fuck out of here.
I could get in trouble for saying that, but it's true. Like, every time a guy put on a condom, like, I'm fucking insulted right now.
It's like, how dare you? You think something's wrong with me?
Yeah.
You think I have something? How fucking dare you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's why the commercials keep getting better, because they're like, we need another way to advertise this shit. Because ain't nobody wearing them, man.
Because kids will wear them. Kids will wear them. Kids fall for the hype. Kids are like, yeah, I'm going to put it on. I'm going to protect myself. Yeah. But adults is like, I pay bills. All right? Yeah. I pay taxes.
I've been paying taxes. Why would I? What? What is a sex ed class? Absolutely not.
I'm single. Yeah. I still gotta use them sometimes.
Screaming this shit in my mother's house. Oh my god.
I mean, she's an artist, so she'll understand.
She's an artist.
Dude, she has 5 kids. She has not one leg to stand on when it comes to wearing a condom.
Yeah. And the way that paint looks behind you, artists gotta fuck raw in order to paint like that. That's
right.
Yeah.
It's inspiring.
With the contour and the shadows and shit.
That's
sexual energy. Your mom paint those naked.
All right.
Right now. At that point, we're at the point of the show. If you got any plugs you want to make them now. It's Rosebud.
You got anything you want to plug, Rosebud?
They can go to my podcast, Devil's Advocate with Rosebud Baker. Or my podcast with my fiance called Find Your Beach. Both of those are available wherever you get your podcasts.
Bang, oh, bang. All right.
I know you got your half hour out. Anything else coming out?
I have a half hour out.
The Bill Burr joint. That wasn't a half hour?
No, that wasn't a half hour. That was a shorter set, but it was a fun set. They should check it out. I don't know. I'm online. Just fucking Rosebud Baker on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. So that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Work. How about you, Ro? Anything?
I'm here. I mean, right? I'm like, I don't know. You're listening to my plugs right now.
That's right.
Make sure you keep listening. No need for apologies. To check out the 6 Foot Nothing comedy podcast. It's really dope. We have fun. That's available on my website. That's available on Derek's stuff. I don't know where you post it.
I post everything on Instagram. Everything on Instagram. Yeah. And remember, everybody, tonight, I know you ain't going to see it tonight, but make sure you tune in to Last OG. I'm back on the season. It's my re-debut back onto the show on the third season. I'm feeling really pumped.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So people want to watch. First episode tonight, next episode, I close out season 3. And hopefully we get a season 4. So, yeah, it's going to be good. It's very fun. I wouldn't promote it if it wasn't going to be funny. We did some funny stuff in January on them scenes. So I just hope everybody enjoys it.
So,
hell yeah.
How has it been fostering dogs during this whole situation? Or do you not do that anymore? You don't foster anymore?
No, I adopted a puppy.
I seen the puppy. That shit look cute. It's like a little mangy John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me show you her.
Yeah.
Let me show you her. She's right here. Come here, mouse. Come here, mousey. Okay, here she is.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
she's adorable.
Eva Evans. Yes.
What up, Eva?
What's going on? I'm here, y'all.
Hi, Eva.
Hey, oh my God. What type of dog is that?
She's some kind of border terrier mix, I think.
And where'd you get her? Because I want a dog. And I want a dog that size and like that. Like that mangy. Yeah.
She's great. Yeah, she's she does look like I got her under a railroad, doesn't she? She came from this like
guy's
garage in Huntington Beach. So just like pretty much got her from just like a random. It was called a rescue, but I paid $500 for her. So it's
Wait, so that's like, the standard fee? Because I feel like these people be fucking with me when I I try to adopt a dog. And they'll be like, the application fee is only $500. I'm like, don't say only and then follow up with $500. Only, you can use only if the max is $125.
Right. That's
only $125.
Yeah, they talk about it like, I'm like, at this point, we're not rescuing the dogs anymore. We're rescuing the fucking guy selling them. Yeah. Like, that's, I'm like, I'm rescuing Rick.
Yeah, because your dog's flipping. That's what it is. When they say $500, I'm like, that's a purchase.
Yeah, nigga, that's not a fucking rescue.
Yeah.
A rescue is supposed to be a free dog who's all fucked up.
Yeah.
$500, yeah. You get your gutters fixed on your roof for
$500. Yo, $500, and nothing goes like, $500 doesn't go towards the shots. It doesn't go towards it being fixed. You just get a fucking dirty dog that can have worms for $500.
Oh, and That's crazy, for sure.
What up, everybody? Well, we got Eva Evans in the building.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Eva Evans.
I'm gonna check my light in. This shit looks crazy.
Wait, that's your place?
Hell no, it's my mom's place.
Oh, because I always thought that was like a fake background. Because I see you post online, I'm like, oh, she got a fake background.
No, I'm at my mom's crib.
Women have nicer places than guys.
That's the showroom like, in there.
Yeah, like
that's.
I know, right?
All our guy guests who had to FaceTime and that shit, they gotta hide it or they go to like the nicest part of their crib.
This is where I take all my thirst traps, right here in my mother's living room.
Y'all know each other.
She be walking in like, "What's going on?"
Yeah, y'all know each other, right?
Y'all know each other, right? Either.
Nah,
no, we haven't met yet.
Oh, how you doing? I'm Eva.
Hi, Eva. Nice to meet you.
Been killing it.
Nice to meet you.
Same here, honey. I gotta go soon because I have a show in East New York.
That's right.
Oh yeah. Oh, cause she's doing the. You're doing the.
Are you doing the car?
Yeah, I'm featuring for talent. I'm doing the driving shows.
How did you like that? Cause we were just talking about it. We like yo.
It's crazy. Like, first of all, no, it's lit. Cause this the virtual shit is not it. You know how many Zoom shows I turned down? Like, I don't like that virtual shit is not the wave, honey. I'm done. Like, I'm not doing that.
Wait, why won't you do that? So that's good because we got two different things. And I'm like,
y'all are virtual opposites.
You're virtual opposites. So
you like the Zoom shit?
I'm on the Rosebud is a fan of the virtual. I'm becoming a fan of the virtual.
Yeah. First now, even tell us your experience. Hold on, I didn't say I was a fan.
It's the worst thing that ever happened to me, honestly. Like, I just feel like staring into the camera, trying to make people laugh, and then you can't see everybody. Like, that's not how comedy is supposed to be delivered or enjoyed. It's not. Okay. Certain things is cool for technology to step in for certain things in life, certain, you know, art forms, but I don't think stand-up is for that. So this the driving thing, so it's... Son, first of all, we in East New York, so you got the drug dealers pulling out. You know what I'm saying? They got the Benz, the Beamers tinted out, fucking rims spinning. I'm like, yo, I'm like, yo, this is lit. It's in the parking lot of a diner, so they bringing out the food. So people order bottles of Henny, steak, lobster.
Are they sitting in their cars? Are they sitting outside their car? Are they sitting in the car?
Outside the car?
Or are they sitting on their car?
Some of them will sit on their roof, their hood, or whatever. Some of them in the car, they beep when it's funny. It's just I don't know, man. I just love it. It's just hood shit at its finest. It's amazing. Okay. Like, I love it. And you know, we buy Pink Houses. For those of y'all not familiar with Brooklyn, like, Pink Houses is like the infamous project. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like we write across.
Yeah.
The, Yeah. Pink houses know how they give it up crazy. So it's just so much fun. It's so much fun. So I just feed off that energy. Like, they beep and they honk and they on top of their cars with the Henny bottles, like, yo, this bitch funny. And it's just okay. Like,
so they're not in the car. They're on top of the car. They're watching
you. Some of them are on top of the car. Some of them are in the car.
That's so funny.
Is that all about outside of the car?
Yeah.
I could get into that. If they're all
they're still beeping. Like, you can hear them laughing. They beeping when it's funny.
How close are they to you?
The first row is pretty close. It's pretty close. It's just a stage and then immediately a car.
Okay, all
right. The diner. The one you did was at Lynwood, right?
Lynwood, and then I did on the Bronx. The Bronx is crazy.
Oh, well, yeah. You rolled that.
On East Gun Hill? Like
Gun Hill telling jokes.
Yeah.
Right. I was on Gun Hill. Let me tell you what happened. So I had a dress on. This is Sunday.
Oh, this is very popular. Corner in the Bronx.
Right.
You ever been there? I'm on Gun Hill.
Let me tell you this story, y'all, real quick. I'm on Gun Hill telling these jokes. I have on this dress. Because it was Sunday, I had a dress. My family just had a barbecue. I left and I had this little dress on. I did not anticipate it being as windy as it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm on the stage on Gun Hill Road telling my jokes. My dress flies up. Now, mind you, I ain't got no drawers on because the bitch don't wear no drawers like that.
A bitch don't wear a drawer like that. Go ahead.
I'm dead ass. I don't be wearing drawers like that. So my dress flies up, and the first row, they start honking. They're like, yo, like, they start going crazy. I'm like, oh my God, the fucking East Gun Hill Road is seeing my fucking pussy. This is embarrassing. Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? Because this East, like, on Gun Hill, like, East Gun Hill Road is a lot of Jamaicans over there.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know what? Listen, I'm Jamaican, all right? And my pussy is Jamaican, too. She needs sunshine and fresh air just like y'all.
And it worked. Did everybody go up? Everybody honk
their horn? They started going crazy. They started honking their horn. They started going crazy. They're like, listen, my pussy Jamaican. She needs sunshine and fresh air. They started crying. It was crazy, though. It was crazy. So, yeah. So I showed my pussy to the Bronx on Sunday. Yesterday was curfew, so we had to hurry up and end the show. And then today, 8 o'clock curfew, so I have to hurry up and leave because they talking about something. They want to start the show at 6. So I'm going to hurry up and head out soon. But I want to chop it up with y'all first.
I appreciate you coming through. I always wanted to get the dynamics of the Rosebuds and the Eva Evans of this world. It's always
about y'all need to have me on this shit more often and stop playing on me.
Can you stop? I told you I was going to make you a correspondent. We were just working the kinks out. It's the new season of No Need for Apologies.
I'm with it. I'm ready.
Is that what you guys do? Am I supposed to leave?
No, you are. This is the first time.
Okay, I wasn't sure what the format was.
No, you know what you look like? You look like, which one of them bitches you look like? You look like,
love this bitch.
You dead ass look like Nicole Kidman.
Really?
Is that racist?
No, it ain't racist. You didn't say anything disrespectful.
No, because Nicole Kidman is cute. She's cute.
Unless she thinks Nicole Kidman is ugly.
No, you think Nicole Kidman is ugly?
No, she's cute.
She's cute.
She's cute as hell. You look like her.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I look like her.
Eva, did you have a segment that you wanted to cover? Was there anything that you want to talk about specifically?
This real quick, before I get off, I just feel like this curfew shit is really blowing mine. I haven't had a curfew since I was 15. A bitch is 29 now. I haven't had a curfew in so many years. I just feel like if I have a curfew, y'all need to give me an allowance. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
Give me an allowance. You feel
I mean,
me?
They
like,
did. That was how they got people. They were, we're going to give you that stimulus, and then we're going to spank
you.
Nah,
that was one time. Allowance is every week, honey.
I mean, look. Yeah.
Every week, right? Right, Rosebud? Every week.
Yeah, we need a stimulus check every week. Every Friday.
Every week.
Send us a stimulus check.
And so that means
the pandemic unemployment thing that... That's the stimulus.
Not everyone's getting unemployment, though. Not everyone's getting unemployment. My thing is, if you got me on curfew, you need to put me on your health insurance. You need to put me on an allowance. I need all the benefits that come with being a kid. Because I haven't had a curfew since
you need to pay my rent.
Pay my rent. I need to be on your health insurance. All of that. Buy my clothes.
Yeah, if I got to be in by the street light, you need to just tuck me in every night then. Because
before the street lights even come on. It's the fucking daylight savings. The street lights don't really come on until like 8:30 now. You're in there watching the sun go completely down. Like fucking idiots.
Punished during the summer?
That's the worst.
When you get, when you like take a nap, when you like, you ever had that punishment where they're like, go to sleep, and now you can't sleep, but you just hear the kids outside playing and
having mad fun.
And it always sounds like they're having way more fun than they do when you're out there. It's like, y'all niggas never had as much fun.
Word.
It's FOMO.
But you know what's so crazy? When I was young, I lived in Jamaica. So imagine being on punishment with this beaches and fucking mangoes and all type of shit. It's like, damn, I want to go to the beach. That sucks.
It's just fucked up that they kept us grounded for 2 months, and then we just decided fuck it, and then they gave us a curfew. Like, it's like you just had us grounded for 2 months, like and we finally just got out of the house. We finally said fuck it, and now you're like trying to make more rules. It's fucked. I think we're all done. We're done with coronavirus. We're done with all of it.
Yeah,
like, let us out.
What do you mean? You think the coronavirus is over? That's what you mean? Like,
nah.
I don't think it's over.
I think we're over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a fact, though.
If you look also like way back in history, pandemics have been over once everybody's over the pandemic. Like, it's like, people are just like, oh, Spanish flu? Like, they were like, you know what? People are going to die. They just stopped giving a shit.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
That is very true. We're still dealing with some shit that were pandemics back then. It was just like, take the vaccine.
Right. Well, we had grandparents, and now we don't. And that's what it is.
Damn.
And that's what happens. I think people just become immune to death before they become immune to the virus. We just
damn.
All right.
Well, listen, niggas, the die every day, B.
I mean, that was the shit all, like, I was always like, man, people are going to die. Like, I don't want to be like, who gives a shit? But my attitude was always like, I don't know if we should be locking people in the houses or during the whole quarantine. Because I'm like, people are going to die. But now here, we got a vacation. We got a forced vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But cabin fever was the reason. You're right, Rosebud. Cabin fever set this up to be as monstrous as it is. We was already shaking.
Everybody was just like,
right? And then you gotta understand, people out here, they desperate. Like, there's people out here who have no money, no food. So they out there just wilding because they're just taking their frustration out on the whole situation. Like, they can't pay their bills. They can't teach their kids shit. All types of shit.
Yeah, ain't nothing worse than, like, you can't send your kid to school and you're dumb. So now your kid, because now your kid knows you're dumb because they spent 2 months with you.
Your kid goes back to school and they're like, what did you learn? And they're like, my parents are retarded.
Right.
That the best kept secret is like having dumb parents. Like, most parents are stupid as shit, but they get 8 hours to hide it. Yeah. 8 hours out of a day to hide your stupidity.
Now I'm just in the house. Kids looking at their parents like, I am doomed, nigga. Yeah. I am doomed.
When my mom didn't understand my homework, she's like, why you don't know it? Why you wasn't paying attention to school? Trying to flip this shit like. Why you don't know this shit? You was in school all day. Why the fuck you don't know this?
I'm like, but you went to school too, and you pushed school on me. So if you didn't take anything from it, and I come from you.
But anyways, though, I'm going to head out to East New York. I'm going to holla at y'all. Y'all do this every week, right?
Yeah.
I'll hit you up when we need to see you.
Huh?
I made you up every time I need a piece. Every time you want to come in, I'll bring you in.
I'll holler at y'all next week for sure. But thank you for having me. Bye, guys.
See ya. And fuck those shows. No, I'm fucking with you. No, but it also, like, it's different strokes for different folks. Like, to me, I personally don't want a bunch of niggas with Henny bottles fucking go, yo. Like, that's not the people. That's not the type of shows I want to do. Like, that's fine. I'm fine with regular laughs.
I can't do it. I think that's fine. Like, we all came up doing shows that were fucking rough, that were like two people fucking or 40 people booing us or like however whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. We all came up doing that. But like, you get to a certain point, you're like, I'm not going back to that. No.
Yeah, because all it is ego. Like, We're all grown, and the last thing we'll do is let another adult talk us into some shit that we don't want to fucking do. Like, it's no peer pressure. Yeah. And if you can get over your ego that you don't have anything to prove to anybody, then it's like, I don't need to do that shit. Like, I'm fine. I'm not missing out. No. I told jokes at old folks' homes in the beginning of this shit. Like, when I was like coming up, telling jokes to motherfuckers on their deathbed. So that's it. I've experienced what I need to experience. Dude,
I've told jokes to people nodding out on fucking, on like whatever, what's the drug they give to heroin users when they're coming down off heroin? Whatever. Anyway.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they were just, they were like this through my whole set. Just fucking.
Telling jokes to methadones? Damn.
Methadone addicts just like this fucking.
But you know you kill them when they do this.
Yeah, they stand up and they're like, that's right. I'd be like, oh, I killed. Yeah.
What's the worst non-conventional comedy show you've ever done? And then I'll follow that up with the best one. What's the worst and what's the best? Non-conventional, not at a comedy club, not at a bar.
I mean, I do, like, the first thing that comes to mind is always those, like, detoxes, because they really are asleep. There's, like, two or three people, and they're literally asleep, and then you'll say something that they relate to, and they'll pop up, and they'll try to outdo you, because they're addicts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're like, I did that, but I woke up in a bathtub, not connected to any plumbing, in the middle of a field. And it's like, okay. I'm like, you're just describing a Cialis commercial, but so like those are probably the worst, for sure. And then like the nurses are upset with you when you leave because you like didn't make it better, and you're like, these people need help. Like,
it's like, oh yeah, the worst is always they think that you're supposed to come in and like work this magic, and it's like, it's the people.
They're opioid addicts. I'm not more powerful than heroin, for fuck's sake.
No, heroin has won every battle.
Everyone.
I'm like, laughter is no medicine compared to that shit, okay? Mm-hmm.
Because heroin's so strong, we thought it left, but it turned up in the woods. It's in the Ozarks now. Like, we just moved and started really fucking on white people. Now, like, we like those woodland white people now. Just heroin moved over.
Exactly.
To a nice beach house in Ozark.
So what's your best one?
Everybody.
What's the best show?
Oh, man.
Like, somewhere you like, damn, man, I killed. The crowd was right. But you will not go back. You definitely won't go back. Because it's too unconventional where you're like, I ain't doing this shit again, but I had a good time.
Yeah, where you're like, that was just like a luck of the draw kind of a thing.
Yeah.
God damn it. It's hard for me to like think about that because I'm just not a positive person. So I don't like remember. I don't remember good experiences that long. Yeah, you know what I mean? I guess there was like at one point at LOL, there was like a bachelorette. It was at LOL. So I would say that's unconventional, right?
Absolutely. I'm not, I won't count LOL as a conventional place.
Yeah. So there was like a bachelorette party and a group of Hasidic Jewish dudes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it just looked like it was going to be the worst show I've ever done, because the bachelorettes were like, they were all hammered. And then, you know, the Hasidic Jewish guys were just like interrupting every comic that went up. And I don't know what it was, but you know when you reach that point before you get on stage that you're like, this is going to be the worst experience of my life.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to completely not give a shit.
Yeah.
And I ended up like, I think the first thing I said was, I said something, I think I called all of the Hasidic dudes gay. And then and then I just started like roasting all the bachelorettes. And for some reason, they all fucking loved it. And I was like, okay. And I just did my set and I crushed it. And I like walked off stage and I was like, and I'm not even the type of comic that, even if I do well, I'm not like, I killed that shit. Like I never really feel like that. But that was one of those experiences where I was like, dude, if I can do that, I can do fucking anything. Like I just kind of felt like that afterwards. I don't know what it was like, because the rest of the night they were not good. They were not good for anyone. And I was like, okay, that was, I just took a shitty crowd and I made it work. And like, it was the first time that I had some like confidence in any sort of skill that I might've had. I was like, yeah. All right, I got this. Yeah, that was probably the best one. That was probably the best.
This is similar. I feel like those attic shows are the best ones. I did one like coming up in Philly outside at like one of them trucks that turns into a stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? And I knew, I know I was booked to take the L. I know that. I was a newer comic. The comic that booked me was really didn't fuck with me like that. They're from the Laugh House. You know what I'm talking about? His name is like Damon Edmonds. You know Damon Edmonds? Remember Damon Edmonds? So you would know him, Rosebud, because he like only stayed in Philly, I think. So
that's the white dude with the long hair, right?
Yeah, no, that's Damon. Yeah. Damon Edmonds is the black guy who's also Jewish, and he does like a joke about being bluish.
I remember him. Go ahead. I'm
so he books me on the show, and me and a couple of people on the show to open up for him. And I know it was like one of those shows where they booked him to do a bunch of time. He probably couldn't cover the time. So he's like, I'll fill it in with newer comics who are a little bit worse than me. And then I'll close it out with 15, my strongest 15. So I'll look like the hero. So
the hot chick theory.
Yeah. You know that theory, right, Rosebud? Like,
Yeah.
So it was me, a couple other comics, and I had to go up first. And the same situation where I'm like, oh man, this show about to be awful. I don't give a fuck though. So fuck it. I don't know where I pulled these jokes from. I did the hottest 10 I ever had within like the 3 years I was doing comedy. I miraculously pulled out the hottest 10 minutes ever. Fucking killed. And then everybody else after that bombed. And I'm like, yo, this is great. I think I'll do it again, right? So that was the best one. The worst one was me and Derek. I brought Derek, but not as a show to be like, I'm going to be the best one. And then he's going to be like, no, it's like, it was remember that foster care show in Jersey?
Oh, yeah.
Yo. So they go, they booked me for the show. And they're like, hey, but bring another comic who's funny if you like, that way it can be a full show. So we're like, I'm like, all right, I asked Derek. We living in Jersey at the time. So I go, yo, come do this foster care benefit show with me. He's like, all right, bet. It's in Newark, New Jersey. We get there. There's a bunch of kids standing outside, like
fighting, scrambling eggs,
fighting each other, doing whatever. And they like, yo,
oh, shit,
you the comics, y'all niggas the comics, y'all about to go perform. So we're like, yeah. So we go in there. There's no stage at all. Not a single stage. It's the
of course not.
Platters of food and shit and tables, and we're like,
wasn't even platters of food.
It wasn't. What was it? Little crumbs.
It was just lunch from. It was leftover lunch from earlier.
Yeah, it was like leftover lunch, and then
Monroe's
like,
dressing it up.
I know. I'm like, platters of food is like, nah, nigga.
He's like, no, it was old paper plates.
Yo.
Now, when Ro tells that story, it was bad, but I want you to times it by 10 because those kids were sitting on that car, which was dilapidated. Right?
Yeah.
So when we went in, they was like, oh, the kids outside is the audience. And Monroe was like, nah, we not doing this.
Yo,
because we didn't have no mic. Yo. We didn't have nothing. So the lady got mad at Ro. But I've never seen me, Ro, and Minuit walk out of Newark so fast.
Oh, yeah. Minuit was there. I forgot about Minuit. Yeah. So
got out of there so quick.
And I still count that as the worst show because even though, like, I have never not wanted to perform. I have never, like, I get there and I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it. It was so bad, like no mic, like everybody was just doing their own thing. And when they were like, oh, the audience are the kids that you passed outside. And I was like, no, I'm good. And this lady really tried to pull up my heartstrings. These kids need this. You're one of them. And this, that, and third. Yeah. I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
You're like, you're like, I signed up to be a comic, not a fucking hero. Please, I gotta go. Shit.
We skedaddled out of there so fucking quick.
We rolled out.
When
we
got skedaddled, we got before those kids rolled. Because there wasn't no comedy show. Because they
now, was this, when was this? Was this like the last 2-3 years?
This
was earlier in our careers.
Yeah, I would say this was at least 7 years ago.
Okay, so that's how you know it was bad, because shit wasn't even that great back then for you.
Like, we weren't killing. None of us was killing. We was all kind of we was all white tee bummy.
Yeah.
Dollar
yeah.
slices. We was Dollar, that was Dollar Slice times, and we was trying to get them shows off. And we couldn't do that show.
That's how you know it's bad. That's how you know it's bad. Because it's like at a certain point, you know, your standards go up, and then you walk into a situation like that and you go, I can't do this. And you actually feel like you got a leg to stand on. But if you have nothing else going on and you walk into a situation like that and you're like, I can't do this, it's a bad fucking situation.
Like, nah, man. I'm like, nope. And we got the fuck out of there with the quiz.
We stopped by Subway. We got sandwiches, and we got back to New York City. It was so funny. Yeah. It was like, nah, let's just get it. Let's just.
I would have done that too.
So yeah, wrap it up, bro.
Oh, I thought you were going to share a story, Derek.
Oh my! My worst one. I've had so many bad shows at weird places. I guess when I had. Yeah. I went somewhere. It was somebody's birthday. She was a politician, black politician. She was doing big things in Jersey, and everybody was dressed up. I was in there with a polo shirt on. Came in there. It was supposed to be a clean show because it was kids walking around. So I tried to pick and put up all the stuff that was good. There was like a dance floor in between me, and everybody was at those prom tables.
Yeah,
all the round tables. Everybody dressed to the nines, and I got up there and just started saying. The biscuit song wasn't working. Beatboxer wasn't working.
I can imagine you doing the biscuit and then them just like.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. So I was like, you know what? I was like, yeah, man, they told me to dress up. I did the best I could. Y'all been great. I'm Derek Hayes. I'm out. So it wasn't like.
You're like, well, I got dressed.
I did the best I could. And then my best one was, I did Richie Redding's, Richie Redding got a, he got an AA meeting rehab clinic spot he go to out in Atlantic City. Them motherfuckers was running around the facility like, say another one. And I was saying god awful shit. And they was like, yes. It was like, they were throwing like just like dialysis and all the pills that they take not to be, you know, to keep from tweaking. They was like, you're funny, man. Keep going. Yeah, they enjoyed it. And they were like ex-drug addicts.
Those are the people who are you can say what you want around, though, because they've done worse than what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're not judging. So those are the best shows. I wish all the audience were methadone addicts.
Yeah, man.
I love doing sober people shows. Because it's like there's nothing you can say to shock them.
Yeah.
They're never going to judge you. They're just like, yeah, I stabbed my fiance 3 weeks ago. I'm sitting here. Make me laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're so sad. They're so ready to laugh because they're so sad. Yeah,
but I want to know if that's the truth or is that a joke? Did you really stab it?
I've met women in the program. Oh,
I didn't do it.
Yeah. I'm like,
no. No, I've met women in the program that are like, and then I woke up and I'd stabbed my fiance and here I am, 20 years sober. And you're like, what?
Well, man.
All right, we got to wrap
comedy heals. Well, comedy heals. That's what I will say. Is I have my Hotep hat on my
black. That's what that is. Like, I didn't know what. I didn't even want to draw attention to it.
My auntie crocheted me a Scully.
So you look like you're about to do guided tours of Everest.
Yeah. he looked like a Sherpa. Sherpa ass dude. Many people have taken this journey, but not too many have come back
and returned. Fuck you, Ro. Go ahead. Anything you gotta?
Because I didn't know. Like, I figured if Rosebud didn't say anything, like when I came into the Zoom, I'm like, oh, no one's talking about the hat. They probably addressed it. So fuck it.
Nobody addressed the cap.
But yeah, anyway, he looks like he sells hacky sacks.
I would, if I send you protesting, I would mace you. I would just do it. Just
you're amazing. I look like a guy. No justice. I look like justice. With this, look at the purple.
Yeah,
that's called revolutionary purple, right there.
Oh, you got your feet out. Like you definitely got on open-toed leather sandals.
I look like a tree hugger. I look like I hug small trees. Yep. Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here.
So thank you, Rosebud.
Thanks for having me, you guys. Thanks so much. You. This was fun.
Appreciate it. I would love to have you on. Sorry it took this long. But
no, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'll see you guys soon.
All right.
Peace.
Thank y'all for checking out another episode of No Need for Apologies.
I'm Derek Gaines.
I'm Monroe Martin. Deuces.
And we out this stinking joint.
Hey.